You're listening to Kizuki, the podcast. I'm Mei Yoshikawa, and I define the Japanese concept of Kizuki as the following. Kizuki. 1. A moment of epiphany, an aha of realization or insight which opens the knower to a new dimension of truth that was formerly unknown. 2. Steps in an incremental growth of awareness, resulting in a movement from ignorance to greater awareness of the bigger picture. A kind of knowing that cannot be undone, that cannot be unrealized. As a longtime yoga and meditation practitioner, a world traveler and curious self-explorer, I'm obsessed with Kizukis. Listen on each week for inspiring and enlightening stories that may just tip you over for your next aha. On this week's episode, what is mine? We say it all the time. My body, my time, my schedule, my feelings. But have you ever stopped to ask, where does this idea of mine even come from? I never had, not really, until my first pregnancy. Well, my first son, Isa, is already 15 years old, so some 15, 16 years ago, with my very first pregnancy, I had this sense, you can say it was a knowing from within, that this baby, this child, was not mine. I know it sounds kind of weird because, of course, I was carrying him and I wanted him. I mean, since a young age, I always knew I wanted to be a mother. But from the beginning, I had this innate knowing. This life inside me was not something that I owned or can claim ownership of. I had the sense that he was, is, and will forever be a sovereign being, and that my task as his mother was and is and will be to nurture him, raise him, love him, and to let him go. That any sense of ownership, like this boy is mine, he's my child, wouldn't really be accurate or correct in the grander scheme of life. It's this idea of possession, but beyond possession, you could also say that it's an understanding of belonging. Because of course, as family, as blood, in many ways, we belong to each other. We've got each other. We cover each other. But beyond being a human being, this source of life, when you ponder, where does my life come from? Where does his life come from? We all must admit that as human beings, none of us, and I mean none of us, not even the most clever doctors and inventors can create life. We are gifted life as a part of nature, and we get to play a role in it. We get to nurture it, to protect it, to love it, and to grow alongside it. But this possessive sense of ownership, of claiming that as mine within that selfish boundary, there's no room for that. Now, here's the curious thing. So it was like, 15, 16 years ago when I first had this aha moment, like, oh, wow, there's this new life that's growing inside my belly. And it's not mine It is a sovereign being and it belongs to life. That its relationship, its sense of belonging is direct to all of nature and all of life, and that I am in no position to meddle in that direct relationship. Once I came to that Kizuki, I thought to myself, whoa, wait a second. Here I am, completely humbled and admiring this sovereignty of life, the beauty, the wonder of it. Yet, I had never felt that way about myself, about my own life before. And so, you know how sometimes, like when you're at a yoga class and your teacher asks you to put your hand on your heart and feel it beating, and you can feel the pulsation through the palm of your hand. Even though most days, most moments, the sensation of your heart beating inside your chest goes unnoticed. When you take that awareness and direct it towards that resonance in your chest, it's kind of awe-inspiring. Like, wow, here's this organ beating, life, blood, oxygen, making everything possible for me, and I'm not even involved. There's no effort involved on my part to make my heart beat, to make my heart work. It made me also kind of go down this road of imagination about thinking about, you know, my life, my body, all of my organs and my entire being used to be inside my mama's belly once upon a time. And she had her heartbeat. And at some point, I was just this little egg with a little heartbeat that was conceived. And it continued to grow. Even when my mom wasn't necessarily participating, even when she was sleeping, even when she was angry or sad or happy or anything, as a sovereign being, this individual life inside her, I was incubated by her, gestated by her, but I should say, this miraculous being that we later refer to as I continued to grow, to expand, and to be born. And when we were born, none of us had a name. We were given a name later. And as we were referred to by that name, then we begin to have this idea of who I am in reference to that name. So when someone pronounces that name, it makes you turn around. And then you have this idea of who I am, apart from who she is or who he is or who they are. And then there's this development of a sense of separation. Who I am is apart from who she is or who he is or who they are. And then also this idea of this is mine and not yours or not theirs. So when you really, really boil it down, the idea of my body, my time, my schedule, my feelings, what is mine and what's not yours is just that, an idea, a concept. It's not an absolute truth. I find it really fascinating and interesting because as a yoga and longtime meditator, I remember like over 20 years ago when I first came across the non-dualistic question of self-inquiry, who am I? To be honest, I didn't really get it. Like, who am I? I'm May. Period. End of story. And then my self-inquiry way back when didn't go much beyond that because I didn't really know how else to take it beyond that. But approaching it from another angle, if you question what is yours, what do you think is mine? And you think about all of the things that we refer to with the two little letters MY. My body, my time, my schedule, my food, my feelings, my thoughts, my ideas even. You took my idea. Since when? It's like we're all just calling dibs on it or something. And just because what? You think you were first? It's really interesting. It's quite a construct, a manufactured construct of just claiming it as yours. Then one might ask, who the hell do you think you are? Right? And it's such a beautiful, humbling question. It's like, yeah, who am I? Who am I to think that I created this body? You know, this is my time, my schedule, my feelings, and you can't, no one gets to impede upon it. It's not really how nature is designed. It feels to me like, and this is really hard to put in words, but if I were to try, it feels to me more like it's accurate to say that it was gifted to us in this way to experience the sense of I, to experience the idea of mine, my family, my friends, my love, my time. So how about this for a reframe? What if it's actually more about, not about my body, my time, my life, but something that's gifted to us, something that we're allowed to care for, to nurture, to protect, the way that I did and still do my children's lives? What if you get to do that with your body, your time, and your life itself? Instead of selfishly claiming it as mine, my plans, my dreams, everything should go my way, it really shifts that perspective to a little bit more of a sense of looseness, surrender, trust, shifting from control to a sense of flow and nurturing. So here's an invitation for you today. What would shift for you if you saw what you ordinarily think of as mine, such as your body, your time, your life, not as something to claim, but as something to care for and deeply nurture?
Thank you for listening. Learn more about me and my Kizuki Journaling Meiwai Method at my website, kizukijournaling.com. That's KIZUKIJOURNALING.com. Or find me on Instagram at MAEYOSHIKAWA.